on the rise.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Repeated threats from Iran caused oil prices to rise 1% to $63 a barrel today. Iran said it would use oil exports as a weapon following U.N. Security Council sanctions on that nation's trade in nuclear goods. After an impasse of months over Iran's nuclear argument with the West, U.N. sanctions drew the warning from Tehran. The man who helped build CBS television into the Tiffany Network has died. Frank Stanton became CBS president in 1946 and remained at the helm for 26 years. The New York Times called Stanton a central figure in the development of television broadcasting in the U.S. and the industry's most articulate and persuasive spokesman. He helped build CBS News into a respected information source. CBS veteran newsman Walter Cronkite.
He understood the necessity of freedom of a news organization to operate without any impingement from the business side or from any part of the management side.
Frank Stanton was the right-hand man of William S. Paley, the tycoon who built the Columbia Broadcasting System. Theirs was a long and sometimes tense association. Marketplace has the privilege of broadcasting in L.A. from studios named in his honor. Frank Stanton died at his home in Boston. He was 98. 2 years ago today, a giant tsunami fell upon 8 countries throughout the Indian Ocean. The place hardest hit was Aceh on the northern tip of Sumatra. 500 miles of coast were slammed and more than 170,000 residents were killed. As Jocelyn Ford reports, rehabilitation continues.
In addition to the staggering loss of life, the tsunami left a 500,000 people homeless in this Indonesian province. To help them recover, the government and aid groups are constructing 128,000 homes. So far, half that number has been built. Although new housing construction is behind schedule, consider where Aceh was before the tsunami. The province had been isolated for 30 years due to deadly political violence that brought the economy to a near standstill. But the tsunami helped the foes in that conflict make peace. Now the hard part is how to take advantage of that peace and the reconstruction aid.
Job creation, that's a real challenge.
Indonesia's director of reconstruction, Kuntoro, is concerned what happens to the economy after the $7 billion worth of aid money is spent. Saeed Faisal heads the government's private sector development office.
Within these 2 years, the private sectors must be given opportunity to grow. That what can sustain the economic growth in Aceh.
He says Aceh's jungles and coral reefs have potential for ecotourism, and Aceh has highland coffee and pungent spices. Next year, the province will hold its first investment summit to let the world know it's open for business. In Banda Aceh, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
Daimler Chrysler is turning to a veteran investigator to help with its probe of bribery among its employees. The Detroit News reports the automaker has hired former FBI Director Louis Free as consultant. Free is also a former federal judge, now part of the Gavel Consulting Group, which advises companies on matters like corporate investigations. Since 2004, Daimler Chrysler has been looking into allegations that its employees use secret bank accounts to bribe foreign officials. The market was closed yesterday of Christmas, of course. It'll open later today. This is Marketplace. Planning to attend a New Year's Eve party? This installment of the Job Files takes us to a hair salon.
My name is Joshua McBride. I'm a hairstylist and a salon owner. The first time I ever cut hair was when I was 15 years old. My mother came home from the hair salon and got a really horrible haircut and handed me the scissors, and away I went. I think people don't like what their hair does naturally, and they're trying to fight against it. I know, because I have curly hair, and wanting it straight for many, many years. So one of my favorite things to do is to help people love their natural texture and love what they have. It's crazy how I have become a therapist to my clients. People really let go when they come in, and you start touching their head. All their problems, I take them on.
This installment of the Job Files, produced by Karen Ness. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. 2006 might be remembered as the year the housing bubble burst. Home sales declined. Interest rates, which the Federal Reserve had been raising by degrees, seemed to flatten out demand. What can we learn by looking back that might shed some light on what lies ahead in 2007? Nicholas Ritsinas is the director of the Joint Center for Housing Studies at Harvard University. I asked him to put 2006 into some kind of historical perspective.
If you just look at the raw numbers at 2006 in terms of sales and transactions, money spent on new construction, it'll look like a pretty good year, probably the fourth or fifth best year in terms of those volumes on record. On the other hand, however, it is a year the market changed. It is a year the market changed from being a seller's market to a buyer's market.
What caused that to happen?
Well, part of it was the old adage, if it's too good to be true, it's certainly too good to be true forever. We saw an unbelievable period of house price appreciation. In the last 5 or 6 years before the, say, spring of this year, prices were going up on the average of 10 to 15% a year. It clearly wasn't sustainable, and indeed, it hasn't been sustained. We have record numbers of homes for sale. Prices are starting to slip.
Different parts of the country are doing better than others. What are some of the reasons?
Much of it relates to the economy. For example, some of the areas that have seen some recent price declines are in the Midwest, which really didn't have an overheated housing market, but has had some very serious economic problems. Other parts of the country, like Carolinas, for example, parts of Texas, parts of Atlanta, the economy's moving along, and the housing market is doing okay.
What parts of the country bear watching in particular?
Well, I think we need clearly to look at those markets where appreciation has been the highest, particularly the two coasts and parts of the Southwest. For example, if we put a microscope on, say, Las Vegas and Phoenix, in 2005, 30% of all home purchases were purchased by investors. When investors begin to dominate a market, then it's a market more about speculation than it is about consumption.
What happened this year in terms of rents?
Well, after a 4 or 5 year period of rents trending down because renters could become homeowners, particularly with low interest rates, rents are now starting to edge up, which is going to make it more difficult for renters to accumulate the down payment to be home buyers of tomorrow.
When you look into your crystal ball, what does 2007 look like?
2007 doesn't look very good from the housing market's point of view. I do think we may be near the bottom. The good news, for example, is inventories have started to stabilize, but at a high number. So I think we're near the bottom, but I think the bottom, we're going to be at the bottom for a while. And if history is any guide, then it looks like this housing market downturn will probably last well into 2007. And it won't be toward the last quarter, maybe early 2008, before we see signs of it turning around.
Nicholas Ritsinas directs Harvard University's Joint Center for Housing Studies. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.